I'm going to give you a title for the message today. And obviously on our graphic we had earlier and on the front of your bulletin, it says Celebrate the Differences. I call it this title because I want there to be a positive reinforcement to this message because there's such a negative connection to the topic we're going to be dealing with naturally. And so there is a certain level of celebration that can be there in regards to the differences between men and women. But I want you to note a couple other things, if you would. Men and women are different, obviously, but this is by God's design, okay? So the title would be Men and Women Are Different by Design, okay? And then the next one, so there's three titles for this. The last one would be Embrace Your Role. Embrace your role. Okay? Let me read just a few verses to get our minds wrapped around this idea again. And let's start in verse number 1. It says, Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. So what there he's done in verse 1 and 2 is he's given really a praise. He says, I praise you for this. Then in verse number 3, he starts the contrast. He's starting to bring correction, okay? So he says, but I would have you know. So the implication there is that he's going to teach them something they didn't know. I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. Do you think that anyone struggles with that? Nope. And the head of the woman is the man. It could be that that is where our struggle is. And then to bring authority, ultimate authority to this concept or this principle, look what he said in the last phrase of verse 3. And the head of Christ is God. The idea there is God the Father. Now, why would he say that last one? The head of Christ is God. Well, here's what he's doing. He's establishing a fundamental principle of authority. There's a principle here. That everybody is under authority. There's a structure. Even Christ falls under this structure, this pattern that God has designed of authority. And so if Christ is under God the Father's authority, in a sense, then there is great authority in this concept that we're going to be dealing with today. Okay, so let's have prayer, and we'll get into this, and I think it'll be a help to us this morning. Father, I pray your blessings on this message. I pray that it be all about you, not about any particular person or any particular ambition, God, but it would be all about you. I pray that you'd be honored and glorified. Speak to your people this morning. Lord, open our hearts. Soften us, Lord. We need to hear from you, please. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Well, I think that I would gather from you that there is a great deal of agreement that the gender issue is a big issue today. Would you agree with that? The gender issue. Women and men, rather, and women's rights, a big issue today. How about this question? Let me ask you this question. Do you think people have a problem with God's structure of authority today in regards to the authority or the roles between men and women? Now, we're just talking generally speaking in society. People are today not so excited to embrace their role in this pattern that God has designed. And so Paul addresses a hot issue. I mean, this is a hot issue today. This is a hot topic, if you would. But it wasn't like this wasn't a hot issue in Paul's day. It was a hot issue then. And there was a great deal of contention that Paul would have been addressing in this issue. I know that's to be the case because it's right in the scripture. Look at verse number 16. Our last verse of our text, listen to what it says. But, after he's made the whole point about, you know, the roles that God has designed, he says, but if any man seem to be what? Contentious. Well, what does that mean? Well, Paul knows what he's dealing with here. Paul knows that this is a hot issue in Corinth. This is a hot issue in the church, and it's still a hot issue today. This idea of embracing the roles or the differences in the roles that God has designed for men and for women. Now, Paul clearly outlines the structure for God's authority between men and women in this text, and that they would have been contentious meant that they would have not been fond of this idea. They would have had, there would have been internal strife. Not always does it externalize itself, where we actually see a strife in somebody or in a family or in a church or in society. Obviously, we see it in society big time, but not always does it manifest itself externally, where you have this anger between men and women in regards to roles. But definitely here, Paul is clearly showing that this is an issue that people, whether externally or internally, struggle with. So he goes on and he says, verse 16, let's note this. He says, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. So what he meant by this is that if we are going to argue the validity of God's structure for authority, then we will not find agreement of the apostles on our side. Look at it again. He says, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. We have no such custom means that to argue with this concept of God's structure for authority would not find agreement with nor the apostles nor the church. And so this is a hostile situation, a potentially hostile topic. And so I suppose the question that we could ask is, why do people have such problems with God's structure for authority? Why is it that people tend to argue the distinctions in the gender? Now, let's not answer these things out loud, okay? These are hypotheticals. I'm just trying to set some context here, okay? But why is it that there is this war going on in society between the genders? Where you have, you know, this clear distinctions over here. And for women. And you have clear God-designed distinctions over here with men. And there's a war in society about rights. Women's rights, men's rights. You see? It seems that people don't like what God has designed. Now, let's make sure that we differentiate something here. We're not talking about order of importance, and this needs to be said. This has nothing to do with intellectual capacity. I know a bunch of women that are way smarter than men, okay? And I'm not going to go any further with that because you know what I'm talking about, and some of, anyway, in here. So they're there. This has nothing to do with abilities. This has nothing to do with intelligence or order of importance. It's not about that. We're talking about structure of authority, okay? And submission to that structure. And the fight, the battle has nothing to do with ability or intellect. It has everything to do with falling in line with what God has designed. Last Wednesday, we are in 2 Peter, and what a study we're doing there. If you've not been a part of our Wednesday night series and you're able to be here, I want to encourage you to come. It's been really encouraging. And it's been a study of the maturation process. And so how do you engage in the maturing process? What are the phases and steps? If you're not in this process, then you won't grow the way God has designed you to grow. And so we're doing that. And I mentioned in that message Wednesday night that children grow, don't they? It's natural for them to get bigger. And we even have an illustration of that with these kids this morning. We had Griffin's the youngest, right? And then you have Ty, and then you have, don't tell me, you have Trey. It goes in that order, right? And then you have Grace. She's all wise. She knows the answers. And so you have this natural progression, this natural process that happens with children. And as they grow, they become more independent so that they start to drive. And we all get nervous about that. Yeah, I'm looking over here. There's some of y'all just starting to drive, and we all get nervous about that, don't we, moms and dads? If you have a child and they're at that age where they're starting to drive, you're a little nervous. Now, if you're being honest, you're a little nervous for them and for the world, right? Because they're starting this. Well, that's a natural progression. They become more independent, don't they? Well, there is a certain level of independence that we encourage, and it should be there. But there is also a kind of independence that we don't want our children to ever lose or to ever have, where they would become independent of godly counsel, where they would think they know the answers and they've got it all figured out and they don't need any help. That's an independence that none of us need to have. That's an independence where we say, I don't need help, I can do it myself, I can live life myself, I know what's best for me, and so we've got it all figured out, so we're just going to do whatever we want to do. And this is not a part of a healthy maturation process. This isn't good. This is getting ourselves outside of God's structure of authority. And so this is where it gets dangerous. So why, my question is, why is this happening? Why is the world have such problem with this idea of authority and God's pattern between the genders? And as I said earlier, it's not an issue of order of importance or, you know, intellect or strength or abilities in that way, but embracing the differences and embracing what God has designed different in the roles between men and women. But here's what we have today. We have men that are looking more like women and acting more like women. And we have women that are looking and acting more like men. And so their roles, as distinctly defined and designed by God, is being neglected and pushed away and not embraced. Now that's evident to see. The question is, why is it happening? And I think that we're going to find the answers in our text this morning. And this is an encouraging thing, because I feel that we're going to be empowered this morning with a certain level of freedom and satisfaction, because we'll learn we'll learn why there's a struggle there for that authority, and we'll also learn how to embrace the differences, embrace the design that God has created in each role. And then there's satisfaction there. Listen, there's no competition. The competition between men and women is designed, I believe, by the devil himself. There's no competition. We're different, and we were designed that way. And so if you were this morning, women, to embrace the role that God has designed for you, what you'll find there is peace, satisfaction. You'll find completeness there. And men, it's the same for us. That if we embrace the role that God has designed for us, then we'll find the same level of freedom and satisfaction and peace, because we have fallen into God's line of authority. And so the next few minutes, we're going to understand this principle. Now let's read verse 1 and 2 again, and then we'll get going here. It says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I deliver them you." And so Paul here is praising the Corinthians because they had been submissive to his rules. They had, in a way, been obedient to the things that he had taught them. They had kept the ordinances as he's delivered them. They followed his rules. They were submissive to them. They were following the authority as designed. And Paul addresses them by saying, this is a good thing. He praises them for this. So now he goes on and he begins to bring contrast to this in verse number 3, and showing them that there is a bigger problem that they have in regards to their rejection of the roles that's been designed by God. It's their rejection of God's design, or rebellion against God's design. Now, let's see again in verse number 3. "But I would have you all know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." And so what Paul now does is he is showing that, or he's laying the foundation for authority. Okay, so what is God's pattern or structure for authority? This is the foundation. It's like this is where we start. And then in the next verses, starting in verse number 4 and on, we're going to explain why the problems are there and how we get them corrected. Okay? And we all need to internalize this, okay, because we all need to embrace the role that God has designed for us. And if it doesn't start in the church, where will it start? It needs to start right here, okay? But he's laying a foundation here. He wants us to understand, listen, there must be a structure of authority. It must be there, starting with God the Father and Christ and the man and the woman under that authority, okay? Now, as that pattern has been laid, then you know, this would have been for them maybe a new concept, something they didn't fully grasp before. And so now that they're learning this structure is coming right from Paul's mouth, that it goes all the way back to God, they need to understand something about this, as IU Church want you to understand. Pastor Moore didn't make this up. This is God's structure for authority. And you would be wise to have faith. You would be wise to have faith to embrace it. You can't find satisfaction anywhere else. And to fight against it would be foolish. And we all need to do that. So I want to give you some things I want you to note, okay? I think we have 4 points today. And I think each one of these are a critical part of understanding the problem and the solution, okay? So the first one, and you can write this, is keep the standards of modesty. Keep the standards of modesty. That's number one. Now, modesty is a general term, okay? It's not in the text, but it's a principle that's in this text. And I'll explain that to you as we go. Modesty is a general term. It's cultural. It refers, or it changes with culture. Let me say that, okay? Modesty applies to every culture. Now, in Bible days. Guys, aren't you glad we don't live in Bible days? You say, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, they wore, you know, gowns all the way, like guys did. Hallelujah, we don't do that. You know, and it was normal for them. It was culture. And yes, there were differences between the men's gowns and the women's gowns. There were differences there. But culturally speaking, modesty applies to every culture and every custom. And so no matter what generation you live in, if you're in Bible times, or if you're in the, you know, 21st, 20, whatever century we're in. Is it the 21st century? Is that how that works? I get confused about it. Thank you. Don't judge me. All right, so the customs for modesty apply, and this is what he's talking about. So let's read about that. Verse 4. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. And every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. Okay? So whenever we're talking about authority here, he's talking about being covered or uncovered, okay? And culturally speaking, Paul would have been referring to the Corinthians' traditions. And we know that's true because the Jews, what did the men wear whenever they prayed? They wore the yarmulkes, didn't they? And so if this principle would have been cross-culturally, then Paul would have been speaking against the Jews and what he grew up to be, which the men always prayed with their heads covered. And so, very clearly, Paul is referring to a cultural standard for modesty. For them, it was that the women prayed with their head covered. For the men, it was that they prayed with their heads uncovered. These were the standards of modesty. And so, what Paul is saying here is that if you are a Jew and you grew up always praying with a yarmulke, but you live in Corinth, he is asking you to take it off. You see? And so the standard of modesty applies to the culture that we're in. And that's what he's talking about here. The Corinthian women would have in this culture of appeared modest and submissive. If they would have had their heads covered, if they had the veil, if you would. And so what Paul is saying here is don't violate the customs that have significance in the society in regards to modesty. Their testimony in society is very important. Now, I'm not going to do a whole lot of just blowing up here, okay? But I will tell you that there are standards for modesty in our culture today. Okay? Yeah, no, we don't dress the same way they did in Bible times. We already identified that. Thank the Lord. But there are standards of modesty that apply to this generation. And what Paul is saying here is that in your life, what helps to get you in line with the authority that God has designed, women and men, the distinctions that are there, the first principle is to be modest in the culture that you live in. And we understand, don't we, that, let me just make one application. We have to be careful when it comes to things like wearing bathing suits and stuff like that, okay? I don't think anybody would argue that for the most part, bathing suits aren't all that modest. They're not getting any more modest either. You can accidentally see one of those, and you're like, oh my goodness gracious, heaven's alive. Can't even walk through the mall anymore. You know, and you're like, all right, kids, look over here on the candy store as we walk by this vile store, you know, whatever. You know what I'm talking about. There are standards in my, listen, why would the gas station say no shoes, no shirt, no service? Why would they do that? They're judging me. No, there are standards. And what Paul is saying is that in from a cultural standpoint, we have to understand the closer that we get to standing where God has designed us to be from a gender aspect, women and men, then those rules of modesty apply. And they're there. And so it's a principle that applies not just to women, but also to men. And so the first one, as I had you note, was keep standards of modesty. Amen. Now let's look at number two. Obviously, we could expound on that and go on and on and on. I think you got the point. Number two, keep the gender line distinct. Write that. Keep the gender line distinct. I'll spell the word distinct for you. D-I-S-T-I-N-C-T. So, as Paul is addressing God's structure for authority, he wants the church to understand there's a distinct difference between men and women, and he wants that to remain there, okay? Now look at verse 6. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. So this, we understand, this is coming off of the point he's just made. Verse 7. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. Now, here's where I want you. Verse 8 and 9 is where we're going to get our principle of the distinctions, okay? Verse 8. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. What's he talking about there in verse number 8? Well, we understand that God designed in the beginning when he created woman, he brought woman to be from the man. And so he took a rib and he made the woman. But there's a level of irony when he goes into verse number 9. Look what it says. He says, neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. That's going back to verse 8. Now look at verse 10. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. I feel like I'm missing a point here. I apologize. I moved something in my notes. But what Paul is saying here is that obviously whenever God created the woman, what he's saying here is that he created a structure of authority and not an order of an importance. And so whenever we are talking about whether it's style or feminism, we're not referring to an issue of competition, as we've stated earlier, but it's an issue of God's structure for authority. And so the point we're trying to make there is keep the gender line distinct. Keep the gender line distinct. He did bring up angels here, and I think this is something that we should talk about. Why did he say something about angels? Look at verse number 10. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. This is an interesting thing. Why would he bring up angels? Well, he brought angels into the pictures because there's one thing that the angels always understand: submission to authority. And all you need to do is read Hebrews chapter 1 and you'll see that. The angels always are submissive to authority. And so this is a general concept that he's trying to get across as he's referring to the angels, God's structure for authority. Okay, let's look at the next one. This is number three. Write this. Trust God's design. Trust God's design. Look at verse 11. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of, this is where I was. I just got ahead of myself. Verse 12, this is the one I wanted you to see. Okay, I feel like we're coming back now. Verse 12. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Okay, there's the irony. I totally confused myself earlier when I brought that up too early. Apologize about that. And then you're like, whoa, where did we just go? Coming back. Sorry about that. I'm a little nervous about this message too. Okay, I'm sweating like crazy up here. I don't even know why. I shouldn't be. Okay, so here's the irony. God took the rib out of man, created woman. But how do men come into the world? By the women. So what is he saying here? This is the way God designed it to be. We all need each other. You see? Man was created by God, and from man, God created woman, and from woman comes the man. You see? Who did all of this? God did it all. That's what he's saying in verse 12. And God is the designer. And so when we reject our role, when we get away from what God has designed us to be, we are getting away from God's design. So here's what God is saying. Trust his design. And the role that he has created for man and woman, trust his design. Okay, now let's get into the fun part. Verse 13. Write this, number four. Trust the natural laws. Trust the natural laws. That's number four. When God structured authority, he put natural laws in place. Well, what is this? Well, he brings up short hair for men and long hair for women. Look at verse 13. He says, judge in yourselves. What's that mean? Well, let's just think about this, okay? That's what he's saying. Judge in yourself. Let's just stop and think about this. Is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even, now watch this phrase, nature itself teach you? You should note that. Nature itself teach you. That if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her. For her hair is given her for a covering. And so he says, doesn't nature teach you that a man should have the long hair and a woman have, I mean, you know what I'm saying. Whatever I just said, don't listen to that. Okay? Oh my goodness, what is my problem? Can we do a reset? I think it's too late for that. Okay, I'm going to read to you some scientific stuff. Oh, this is going to get good. I know y'all just can't wait to hear this. A scientist did some research, found there are three growing phases with hair. I'm just going to read it to you, okay? Number one, the formation and growth of new hair. Amen. That touched you, didn't it? Number two, the resting stage. I guess that's just when it stays. Number three, the fallout stage. Some of you are well acquainted with that. And myself. Yep. So we have the formation and growth of new hair. Number two, the resting stage. And number three, the fallout stage. Okay? Yeah. And then once that falls out, the cycle's supposed to start over again. All right? And that's where there's a breakdown with some of us. Well, here's why that happens, guys. You ready for the natural laws? This is good. And again, I told you there's scientific evidence for this, so you could check it out yourself. I'm just going to read it to you. Let's see, where was I? Now, for men, men have a hormone called testosterone, which what that hormone does is it speeds up that three-phase process. So a man's hair grows naturally faster than a woman's hair. Interesting, huh? But it also falls out much faster, too. Interesting. Yeah. Yeah, so he progresses with the new and all the way to the fallout much more quickly because of the testosterone hormone that's there. Now, females have a hormone called estrogen, and it causes the cycle to remain in phase one, and which is the growing stage, much longer than with men. And so that's why a woman's hair grows longer than a man's hair in the same amount of time. Pretty interesting, huh? So when Paul said that nature itself teaches us, doesn't it? Nature itself says that women are to have the long hair and men have the short hair. Now, I'm just reading this to you. He goes on and he says in verse 16, which is what we started with, "Now, if any of you seem to be contentious about this, well, seems like he knows how our nature is, doesn't he? We don't like these kind of rules and guidelines, do we? No. So what does God want you to do, church?
Well, get a haircut.
No. Some of you don't need to worry about that. There's a overall principle here that has nothing to do with some of the specifics that we argue and fuss and get angry about. And it's this: embrace your role. Embrace your role. Men, be men. Women, be women. Be feminine. Guys, you know, men. And there are some practical things here. And the four principles that we've went over, this is a powerful truth that will help us to listen. Let's say that we take these four principles that I've given to you and we apply them to our families. Okay? The modesty and being distinct and, you know, the list of the things here. The natural law, all this stuff. Let's say we embrace it and we apply it to our family. What do you think God will do in your family, ladies, gentlemen, kids, if you embrace your role and be, ladies be feminine, men be men? Satisfaction. There'll be a level of peace there just because roles have been embraced. This is God's design. This is God's design. What about the church? What if family, but what about if these roles are embraced in the church? And, you know, by the way, referring back to the family, we wouldn't have as much trouble with authority in the family either, would we? Which is, in the end, the issue. And in the church, if the roles were embraced, you see? What about in society? Well, we can clearly look out in society and see there's a competition out there. Women's lib. There's men's liberations now. I guess we feel we got to get in the fight too. Now I'm not going to argue the fact that there has been abuse in regards to authority, okay? But, you know, if we were to embrace our roles as a society, and it would change a lot of things, there'd be a peace and a satisfaction. Amen. Yeah. And that's what God wants us to do. So what do we do, church? Embrace it. Hey, Caleb, you ready for this? Now, Caleb's shy. I don't want to embarrass him. You ready for this? Okay. Now, Thomas, you can help me out with this, all right? We're going to pretend we're going to go to Walmart. Now, you're 12, so you're not totally cool with the kid aisle, you know, the toy aisle like you used to be, but it's still there. I know it is. You act like it's not, but yeah, I'll go down the toy aisle. But in your heart, you're like, oh, I love the toy aisle. When my kids were little, and still today, it was a running joke with us. And one of their top favorite things to do is go to Walmart and go down the toy aisle. But I will always try to get them to go down the pink aisle. I'm like, guys, why don't you want to go down this aisle? It's just pink on both sides. They're like, no way. I am not going down the pink aisle. Although Ethan, whenever he was like two or three, or was it Andrew? Andrew was two or three. He was like, okay, he doesn't care. He's going down the pink aisle. He doesn't know. Man, I remember I was trying to drag him down the pink aisle, and Grant falls on the ground. He's like, you'll have to take me in, dragging me by my leg. You know what? All I'm saying is this. That's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. It's pink for a reason, isn't it? That's the girl aisle. Okay, this is the boy aisle. This is the girl one. The girls go down this one. That's good. And we can even teach them at a young age to embrace what God has designed them to be. There's no competition. We're not searching for this. It's designed in us by God. He's the creator, and it's a structure of authority. And so celebrate it. Celebrate it. Don't let there be a fuss or a fight. Celebrate the differences. And I think that God will bless you, bless your family. He'll bless our church. He'll bless society as we determine to do this. Father, this morning, we're grateful to be in your house. And Lord, I know that this, I don't know why I've struggled with this morning, but you do. And I pray that you would use this to encourage people to embrace what you've designed them to be. Don't let it be a fuss with people, Lord. I pray you'd do it. And I pray that you'd help us to embrace the roles that you've designed for us. And God will give you glory for it. We praise you for your goodness in Jesus' name. I pray. Amen.